Last week, the Commerce Commission put out a draft review of our retail grocery sector, our supermarkets, and it suggested that the government intervene in the duopoly. Problem is, we've got really only two players in the market, and that's causing some of our prices. Well, it's causing our prices to be as some of the highest in the OECD, and the supermarkets are taking massive margins. Bernard Hickey, who writes the newsletter The Kaka, has taken some time to assess our options and joins us now. Hi there, Bernard.
Hello.
Did it take much getting through this report?
Oh, only 517 pages.
Oh, boy.
And I loved how the executive summary was 28 pages long.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I won't ask you to share all of their conclusions, but why is this duopoly such bad news for the rest of us?
Well, it means we're paying much higher prices for our groceries than other countries, even smaller countries that maybe don't have the economies of scale you'd see in the likes of Australia or the United States or the UK. For example, New Zealand households spend the most per capita, apart from four tiny countries, Iceland, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and one other tax haven. So essentially, we have the biggest grocery bills in the world, apart from those people who send their maids to the supermarket.
Okay,
and that's pretty bad, really. We're supposed to be a free market economy where people compete against each other, and they certainly say that they compete against each other, and that they put out these big signs in their supermarket saying 50% off, 30% off, when actually they have the most expensive prices in the world apart from the tax havens.
Bad news for us consumers. Is it bad news for suppliers as well, the farmers who sell the broccoli to the supermarkets to be sold to us?
That's right. I mean, they're the other people being squeezed here, because not only are monopolies exercising their market power when it comes to consumers, but they're also exercising their market power when it comes to buying off suppliers. So because they aren't competing against each other and they're making such big profits, they're in a position to essentially demand that the suppliers do whatever they want, which means giving them extremely low prices, all sorts of discounts and various other payments for placement on shelves, and the power imbalance is just dramatic.
And so we get to what to do about it. Lots and lots of ideas here. Is it useful to think about other sectors and what might have worked with, say, mobile phone companies or gas stations, how some of the problems of limited players in the market were solved there?
That's right. I think it is worth looking at that. And Catherine Rich from the Food and Groceries Council also made the point that it was very similar to the telecom carve-up that was done in the mid-2000s. And there are some similarities. You've got telecom, which was a network monopoly, and it was broken up into a wholesaler and a retailer. And then at the same time, we got a third entrant come in, which was Two Degrees. And certainly with a couple of other tweaks that really dramatically transformed that sector, it became much more competitive, prices fell, and service increased. And along with the changes to broadband, I think most people agree that that process was very successful from a consumer point of view and from a service point of view. However, it is a different market for a bunch of reasons. Unlike in telecommunications, where you can quite easily separate the pipes, if you like, the lines, from the services being layered on top of it. Whereas in supermarkets and groceries, you've got thousands of different suppliers, all having negotiations with supermarket chains, and in fact, in some cases, with individual store owners. That's a huge number of relationships, all sorts of terms, logistics arrangements that would be just too difficult to easily carve up into a wholesale network and a retail network. And that's why I think that particular proposal is unlikely to go very far. It would just be like trying to untangle 200 phone cables from the bottom of a of a landfill. It would just be so hard and horrible. But there are some things that the government could do. For example, bring in a much tougher code of conduct for the supermarkets when they're dealing with suppliers, and then just very aggressively police the Fair Trading Act, because it's fairly clear that a lot of the promotions, the loyalty card schemes, are using effectively confusion marketing. For those around back when Theresa Gatting was running Telecom, she was caught out talking about confusion marketing, which is how monopolies give you the impression they're competing, but they're not actually. And that's where I think the government could do some real work to try and squeeze that those super profits down.
What can the government do? What should it do? What'll work?
Well, I think it can use the Fair Trading Act, and it could also beef up its police force, if you like, in a corporate sense, making it easier to prosecute the bullying and to prosecute the unfair promotions and the misleading promotions. Secondly, I think it can embarrass and bully and nudge supermarkets to do what it wants to do in its own right. You've got to remember that bullies really only respect force. And the government has some levers it can pull. For example, around the workplace, a lot of supermarkets use a lot of temporary migrant labour. And that's one area where the government can start to push and shove. And also, when it comes to policing minimum wage and various other work practices, they can push and shove there. And then there's the business of allowing suppliers to safely complain and for those abuses to be policed and prosecuted.
Would the best thing just be if another player came into the market? And if that is the best thing, how do we make that happen?
Yeah, that would be fantastic. If the likes of Aldi, so those people who have been in Australia will have seen this new chain that popped up in the last decade in Australia called Aldi, A-L-D-I. And it's from Germany originally, and it's done a really good job of keeping Woolworths and Coles Meyer on its toes. It's done some really interesting things with distribution of goods brought in from overseas, particularly canned goods and frozen goods. And it is also competing on fresh vegetables and that sort of thing. And the reason they can go into Australia and do that is essentially because of the huge concentrations of population in Sydney and Melbourne. What they can do is set up one big store centre, one big wholesale area from which they can distribute to the various supermarkets in Sydney and in Melbourne. Whereas in New Zealand, we really have this problem where apart from Auckland, which has that population concentration of about 1.5 million, and they're not all in a simple place spread out from the centre. There's all sorts of isthmuses and islands and bits and pieces. It's not easy to get stuff around Auckland. And then the rest of us are all straggled out down the island. So it's not easy to get the economies of scale with big wholesale, big box warehouse arrangements. And that's why Aldi has looked at it coming into New Zealand and decided it's just not worth it to not only try to find those economies of scale with the big distribution centres, but also in New Zealand it's so hard to get space to get consents changed, to get land in the right place, close to the motorways, whatever. Because not only is it hard to get that land, because often the big two have tied that land up and put covenants on the land around it, but also once you apply for it and maybe you buy it and you try to get changes to the zoning rules, well, then the other two will use the RMA to stop you. And that's where maybe the government could help out there. The other great hope in the supermarket competition space is Costco. It is coming into West Auckland. It's going to have a huge outlet there and bring in stuff from America and various other places. But really, that's just one part of Auckland, and you're not going to see people, you know, drive for 2 hours for a grocery shop from South Auckland and back. And so that's the problem. So I don't think we can rely on a third party coming in to solve that problem. I don't think we can rely on carving it up telecom style to solve the problem. I think the government's just going to have to do the difficult and slightly expensive work of really policing hard the Fair Trading Act and the Employment Relations Act.
What about a Kiwi shop?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a fun thing. But the trouble is, again, the way that the two supermarket chains operate is that they tie down their suppliers. So for Kiwi Shop to do a proper national arrangement, they'd have to replicate everything that Foodstuffs and Woolworths, i.e. Countdown, have done up and down the country. And that's difficult to do. It's also something the government has never done. Unlike in telecommunications or construction with the Ministry of Works or various other services, the government's never really run groceries. And you'd have to say it's probably not best set up for it. But there are things it can do to try and nudge, buoy back and cajole the supermarkets to do the right thing. And, you know, some of that extra price that we're paying is because of the long, straggly nature of the country. But it's worth, you know, also calling out the supermarkets with their extremely high profits and prices regularly, just to embarrass them. Because that's the other thing. These two companies are large. They employ a lot of people. Got a lot of very respectable people on their boards. Embarrassment can be a powerful
thing. The warehouse had a go at it, didn't they? There was a hope at some stage they might keep them honest.
Yeah, but it's just so hard to break into that market. Mm. And, of course, once they popped up, then the other two wanted to make sure they get that duopoly, so they drove them out. And, of course, you can use some of those super profits to fund, you know, very focused discounts in particular areas to get rid of those pesky competitors. that's the tough thing there. And also the one thing that the supermarkets do, that the big department chains like the Warehouse and Kmart can't do, is the fresh supply chain. So the meat, the veggies, the fruit. That's actually harder to do than you think, particularly when you've got, again, this very long, straggly country. But that doesn't mean in various areas you can't have some competitors in some different areas. And, of course, the more information we've got about how much extra we're paying and what the prices would be if they were truly competitive, you never know. They might actually start competing in certain areas, particularly in Auckland, if you manage to get one or two of these big box wholesale-based competitors up and running.
Bernard has a newsletter. Bernard Hickey has a newsletter called The Kaka, where there is a longer version or longer analysis of the stuff we've been talking about. Thank you for your time. Really nice to chat to you, as always.
Thanks, JC. Cheers.